We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, we're going to keep giving you chances just about every day to get onto WQAM.com because now through Sunday night, 560 The Joe is giving you a chance to win a $100 Dunkin' gift card. Go to WQAM.com to register for your chance to win. Something fresh is always brewing at Dunkin'. Their menu has great tasting items to get you going and help you take on the challenges that each day brings during these tough times. They're always made to order just the way you like. Go to WQAM.com right now and register to win that $100 Dunkin' gift card. WQAM.com is your way to go to register for the $100 Dunkin' gift card.
All right, I knew this was going to happen, right? I knew that especially Michael Jordan didn't look great last night, and so I figured this would allow some people that want to jump in there on LeBron James and talk about. And by the way, you got to read that text. I thought it was really good. We're going to have John Crotty join us. We'll talk more about the documentary that's taken place and everything else. But it's a really, really good point. Like, MJ loves all the social media stuff. He can't get enough. He jumps into everything.
Right.
And Michael Jordan, he was a pretty private guy. This is the most open because we didn't know anything about him, and he just was pretty private to start with, and there was no social media.
Right. Well, the text that came in during the break, 56022, by the way.
Just don't read the ones about me doing stuff to LeBron, all
right? Right. I'm going to keep those out of
there. No, that's wrong right there.
That's wrong. They're funny, but I'm not reading any of them. Jordan was very private about his life. LeBron is a social media whore. That's basically what we've been talking about.
They have one thing in common. They have one thing that's clearly in common. They both are businessmen.
Right. Good point.
They both... When it's all said and done, now listen, we got some Magic Johnson's been a really successful business guy and has taken the amount of money he's made and he's just expanded and done really well. Michael's at a different place, but LeBron, when it's all said and done and they come out with his net worth after this contract and the
right.
movies and
right.
I don't know how his pizza's. Is pizza still doing well?
They're still open, so yeah.
Still going, so... Yeah. Yeah, they have that in common for sure. Hey, Zach, how about a couple more before we get to
Friday? Right. All right, 56022, if you want to get them in here, they're coming in fast and furious. Jordan literally went on a media silence for how long because of his gambling stuff. Yeah, he was loved by the media, all right. Yeah, remember he didn't talk to anybody for a while. Remember when he didn't talk to, he still doesn't, I don't think, talk to Sports Illustrated.
Oh, yeah.
Because of that cover where they said, bag it, Michael. You know, he still doesn't.
Oh, he did get some criticism. That's right. Right. I didn't realize that. Right. Yeah, they never even talked to him. He's done with Sports Illustrated.
Right.
Now, one thing we have learned about Michael Jordan, and you can ask Barkley, and you can ask others, when he's done with you,
done.
He's done. Like, MJ can hold a grudge.
Right.
You get on the wrong side, he's done with you.
Well, I think Isaiah Thomas found that out.
Right.
Yeah.
He's part of that crowd, too. Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's
there's no apologies years later, huh?
No, he says, I respect your game, but I sure the hell don't like you.
Right. As much as I hated him, I didn't want him around us. That's interesting. All right, here's a good one. LeBron is so petty, he'll probably make a 12-part series just to do two more than Jordan when it's all said and done. The Last Dance, he's going
to
do
it. It is funny like to hear someone call LeBron a social media whore like he does any more social media than anyone else. Every other big athlete is all over social media these days. It just comes with the territory, but of course LeBron has to get singled out, is using it more than anyone else.
He does He does know how to use it, right?
Of course he knows how to use it. He has probably a whole team of people that do it for him. What do you think? He sits there on his own and thumbs all his stuff out himself?
Oh, no.
He has a team of people that do all his stuff.
That's right. He's got I think a lot of those guys that get millions and millions of followers, all their different social media outlets.
Someone runs their social media. Right. We've seen it before.
I mean, D-Wade tweets out and puts Instagram stuff all the time, even when he was playing. Right. No one ripped him for that.
Hey,
called him a social media whore. I mean, come on.
But, Joe, you could say it. D-Wade's got a team of dudes that do his social media.
Yeah,
D-Wade. We saw it. We've seen it.
But D-Wade, you were talking about the guy that's going to do it next. Dwayne Wade's going to take that other Olympic team, and he's going to have his own documentary.
Right.
Right? With
Which
Carmelo.
Which is a pretty cool one. Right. That's a pretty
Kobe.
Cool team, too.
Yeah. Actually, Dwayne was coming off the bench and all right. those guys together.
Here's a text, Joe, that's on Hollywood's side. I don't know if Hollywood sent this in or not. Joe, no star gets killed more than LeBron. It's a big difference getting killed locally versus nationally by the media.
I think if you guys talk about him getting killed, I see a guy that this guy's pretty damn popular, like yep. by himself popular.
I just think we live in a different day and age. If Jordan was here, he'd probably get the same treatment as LeBron right now. And if he was, you know, the way he was, that's it.
I don't like that you're bending the truth to help your argument, by the way. I'm not really a big fan. I hope your computer craps out again because you're lying.
So LeBron, I mean, we could do
You're just bending the truth right now. You know LeBron got crushed on a national scale. It was every single day.
Some of that he did to himself, man.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
That is
but, Joe, after
fair.
A year, after that 2 years, after three, I mean, how many more years did the guy have to deal with it?
That decision at the time was a bad idea. Was one of the worst ideas ever by a superstar, especially the guy he did it with. But whoever gave him, and that's when he let Cleveland know that they were out and we were in,
right.
That didn't go over real well. Now him
followed up
here,
by another bad idea, by the way, with those guys coming out of the bottom of the stage in a full arena. Celebrating before they even won a game.
I thought that was
even played a game.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I have some of those posters left in here right now. I'm just looking at them.
Yeah, it was real cool for us, but what do you think everyone else thought of that?
Three. Right. No, everybody around
that
the
wasn't
country,
a good idea.
When he came here, he got blasted by the country. He got blasted by everybody.
Locally, it was fine. Nationally, he got ripped.
Right.
No one ripped him locally. So it took people 8 episodes to find an argument for LeBron. Someone just texted in. People are also texting. I don't know if it's the same guy or not, that Michael has always played for good coaches. Dean Smith, Phil Jackson, and LeBron hasn't. So that's a big difference. Is that
First
a big
of
difference?
All, does everybody realize that Phil Jackson wasn't around for a lot of his good years in the 20s? Now he was a go-to guy, but yeah, he had other coaches.
Doug Collins.
He had a coach who just let him go. Yeah, Doug Collins just let him go one-on-one.
Right,
he just,
right.
There was no triangle offense. It was just go get him.
It's not a great argument because LeBron gets to choose his coach wherever he goes.
Yeah, that's just
that's a good point also, right?
I know. Point, don't try the coach thing. Like
that's a stupid one, right?
Like LeBron handpicks his in Cleveland and then gets Pat Riley. Come on, and Spoelstra.
Oh, someone said put LeBron in the triangle offense and he'll be unstoppable. There we go. Now it's coming.
He likes to pass too much. Anyway, what else you got?
Let's see what else. Another thing to keep in mind is that LeBron Jordan played in different times. Jordan wasn't under the same sort of scrutiny as a player during that era nationally as LeBron is since he's been playing in high school. There was no social media or TMZ when Jordan played.
Well,
you can't blame Jordan for that, though.
No, but he's one of the greatest high school players. Like, they used to have his team in Cleveland. They were on ESPN or wherever
the
they
time.
Were playing.
Right.
Akron, wherever that school was. Yeah, listen, it's a lot different time on all these athletes. You know, they gotta be careful, man. The social media stuff and the amount of followers. But you can't have it both ways. You can't sit and do all that stuff and expect to get 5 or 6 million followers and think everybody's gonna love you. There are people that just troll you too, man. Be a lot of negative Nancys out there. But I don't think he'd take anything back. It's worked out pretty well. LeBron is a brilliant friggin' businessman. By the way, I saw Kobe Bryant, his net worth, he's not bad either. God bless his soul the way it ended.
Right. Here's a good one, Joe. LeBron holds teams hostage like no one else has. Of course, he's going to be more criticized.
Right. That's what he did. When he realized he couldn't get great players to go to Cleveland, and he tried, and they're all going, no, I don't want to go play in Cleveland. Then he called his buddy Dwayne Wade and said, you mind if I join you and Chris? We got a little bit of money there. Can we take the same amount? We'll do the big three and get a couple of these damn rings. And it worked out. Right. And we loved it. And as you said, everybody else hated it. I tell you who I don't hate. I don't hate my man John Crotty, who's going to come on here, talk to us for a few minutes here about all this stuff. We'll get his take. He was playing during that time. He got to see that Michael Jordan show. We'll hear some of his stories, all that stuff coming up in just a few minutes. But first, I want to tell you about Air Around the Clock. I want to let you know, I see Mike doing all those TV commercials, and he wants to let you know Air Around the Clock and Rheem are working their butt off for you right now. Open and ready to go with all your air conditioning problems. It's going to start getting super hot out there, and I want to let you know that Air Around the Clock's not changed except mask and gloves. Yeah, they're going to make sure they keep your family healthy and get you an air conditioning unit that's running properly. And if you need a new air conditioning unit, we got them ready to go. We got 100 trucks on the road every day serving you in Broward and Palm Beach County, trained and certified technicians 24/7, ready to take really, really good care of you. Eric and the gang over there, 40 plus years in the business, Big Daddy's, he'd be proud of this thing. He's sitting up there watching it going, that's the way we do it, man, even during this coronavirus. 1-800-741-1033. 1-800-741-1033. Forever around the clock.
When people see this, they're going to say, well, he wasn't really a nice guy. He may have been a tyrant. Oh, well, that's you, because you never wanted anything. I wanted to win, but I wanted them to win and be a part of that as well. Like, I don't have to do this. I'm only doing it because it is who I am. That's how I played the game. That was my mentality. If you don't want to play that way, don't play that way.
Interesting Woo! Stuff there Damn. From Michael Jordan. Joe, we're going to jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sharon. And Miami Heat color analyst and 11-year NBA veteran, friend of the show, John Crotty, going to join us for a couple minutes. John, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Zach, Joe, I'm hanging in there, man. Groundhog Day again. Here we are. But could be a lot worse, right? Could be a lot worse.
Hey, this has been fun to watch, right? This MJ and the Last Dance and this documentary.
Sure.
I want to get your take. I knew it was going to finally get to it. We finally somehow have gotten to LeBron versus Michael Jordan, even though they're different kind of players, different times, social media. We know LeBron's gone to about 25 different teams, and MJ stayed with the team he got drafted with. So what's your take on this very competitive guy that we've now seen through 8 episodes? What do you think, MJ?
Well, look, this whole thing is a bit of a flashback of my when I played too. So it's just a lot of thoughts and emotions that go through it, and what a grip Jordan and the Bulls had on the 90s in regards to just, you know, championship after championship, right? I mean, a true dynasty. And knowing a lot of guys who played with him and having played against him, and it's interesting because I think people didn't really know Jordan, you know, his personality, and because he was much more closed and obviously before social media, your point, Joe, and, you know, you're seeing sort of that killer mentality he had. And I think that's what really separates him. It's, you know, it's a guy who is so incredibly driven, but unlike a lot of others who are driven and have that competitive fire, he had the incredible talent and the skill set with the athleticism and that competitive fire. And that's what really elevated him, I think, to a level of greatness. And, obviously not an easy guy to play against or to be around at times because of that.
John, I'm learning a lot more watching this documentary. This was like primetime viewing for me, high school and beginning of college during this 90s when Jordan won the 6 titles. And that's when I really got into sports more than anything. But I didn't know about a lot in the background. I'm sure a lot of people didn't unless you were part of that team. The one thing that struck to me just in the last two episodes that were on last night was when Pippen decided not to go in on the play that Kukoc hit the shot against the Knicks in the playoffs, that Bill Cartwright, after, in the locker room, in a crying kind of speech, in a very emotional speech, told Scotty how much he let the team down, how much what he did was just disrespectful for the team, to the point where Scotty had to stand up basically and apologize back. That was news to me. I knew he sat out the shot. I knew Kukoc hit it. I knew the play was called for Tony. But the fact that Bill Cartwright got up in the locker room, this was no Jordan on the team. This was just these guys.
Right.
And had the emotional speech. That was crazy to me to hear that. But that's just kind of how that team was, even without Jordan there.
Well, I think, look, and I think Joe can speak to this, there's so much that goes on in a locker room that never really gets out. You know, and particularly in that era before social media, there, you know, I knew, you know, Steve Kerr is a friend, Judd Bushler and I played together, you know, Bill Wennington is a good friend, Stacey King does what I do for the Chicago Bulls now from a TV, you know, perspective. So, like, I knew these guys during the time, I would talk to them and they would tell me about practices and, you know, some things going on, you know, not the super confidential things you ever let out, but, you know, there was so much tension there between that team and the front office, as I think is very, you know, clearly delineated in the documentary as well, which is an unbelievable tension. But I think in a lot of ways, you know, that helped drive that those teams too, guys, because, you know, it was a bit of an us against them mentality of they don't believe in us. And we, you know, Jordan used that as fuel. You know, it really inspired everybody to play harder. You saw how hard he pushed people in practice. And, you know, that's what I heard about, how brutal the practices were. It wasn't like between games he was resting. I mean, he was taking guys and going after them in practice. And you know, to the point where people were getting in scuffles. And, you know, that regularly happens on good teams because guys are constantly pushing each other.
Hey, John, I got to tell you, one guy that I used to think kind of put on automatic pilot and kind of coached up all these guys, I got a lot of respect coming out of these eight episodes of this document, is Phil Jackson. You talk about keeping guys together between ownership, GM, and a bunch of different personalities, including one of the great players to ever play and a nice player like Scottie Pippen. Newfound respect for Phil Jackson. What'd you think?
Yeah, I've never had one occasion I've had an opportunity to really speak with him one-on-one and spend some time with him, and he was a pleasant guy. But when you get to see, you know, like you said, all the different personalities, that to me, what a challenge. I mean, and look, I'm not a Rodman fan. To me, he was much more about himself at times than he was the team, and that to me is everything that's wrong with sport. But think about managing that personality with Jordan and Pippen, who's getting paid less, significantly less than everyone, despite the fact that he's one of the top 50 players, you know, all time, and the ego and the issues that go on there. And, you know, and Rodman wants a vacation in the middle of the season. I mean, are you freaking kidding me? You know, and Jordan's like, if he wants a vacation, I'm the one carrying the team, you know, I mean, you know, and here's Phil Jackson and the team wants to, you know, remove him and say this is his last year. I mean, they seem to want to pull the plug so early on a group that had been so incredibly successful, which to me is really against, you know, a lot of the trend that you see where, you know, teams tend to hang on maybe too long. But, you know, I thought Phil did a great job, of knowing when to push and when to pull. You know, from the guys I've talked to that played for him, said he did an amazing job during the regular season of not really putting too much pressure on the guys, and he would definitely go down the roster and use everybody on the roster and try to take pressure off some of the star players on the team during the course of the year. Kind of a lot like, I would say, you know, maybe like Popovich does now. I don't know if you guys recognize that, where, you know, maybe he rests guys or he takes some of the mental pressure off them, but then when it's playoff time, really try to crank it up and get, you know, the team motivated and all together as a unit and create, you know, some sense of purpose. You know, and look, you saw that at the theme of the whole thing, like in the beginning of that last year together, The Last Dance. That's the term he coined.
Hey, John, go ahead.
I'm only guessing that you had to be on the team or Michael Jordan himself to understand what kind of motivated him, what got him up for games, what got him up for series. But last night, also watching those two and seeing the LeBradford Smith made-up story where he went for 40 after not even the guy saying anything to him, and George Karl kind of blowing him off at a restaurant, and all of a sudden then he wanted to kill Seattle after that. It is truly amazing. It's truly amazing when you see – I mean, listen, you both were athletes. You both played at the highest levels. I'm sure a lot motivated you or got you up. But it just seems like a bug, a mosquito could have stung Michael, and then every team that had, you know, a bug in their name, he's going to want to go for 50 against him. It's just crazy how Michael was during the day, and playing against him, it had to be almost kind of weird knowing that he wants to crush one of your teammates because of something they might have done.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know. Have you ever seen his Hall of Fame speech?
Yes, right.
Yeah, that was crazy, actually. You're right.
It's unbelievable. I mean, you know, here he is with everything that he's accomplished and, you know, just winning all the championships, the personal accolades that, you know, of being the greatest of all time. And you saw the mentality of the slights that he took.
Right.
And, you know, how he would use those and how you know, real it was to him to the point where it cut him and it inspired him to, you know, to try to crush people and get motivated every day. And you know, that's a serious fire burning inside someone, you know, a lot of, you know, kind of an anger and an incredible competitiveness that can burn too hot and blow you out, I think. But, you know, he was able to find a way constantly to channel it to be better. And, you know, I think, you know, like I said, I don't know of anybody that's had that sort of that same fire with skill and the athleticism, you know, that Jordan possessed. I mean, he was an absolute killer. He could score when he wanted to score. And again, this was during an era, guys, that, you know, you were allowed to hand check. You could be more physical. You saw what the Pistons were doing him. They were trying to put him on the ground every time he came in the paint. You can't do that now. You can't touch a guy now. You know, a guy like Jordan with his ability to draw contact and his ability to create space would have been fouled even more and been put on the line even more and would have averaged, you know, a lot more than the 30 points he averaged for his career. I mean, he would be completely unguardable now. You know, and back then it was very physical and he was still able to do what he did.
Hey, John, I wanted to ask you about the Isaiah Thomas and the Dream Team and – it's pretty clear now, like, I guess that some guys didn't want Isaiah Thomas. Like, yeah, you're good enough, but basically we don't want to hang out with you. We don't want you around us socially and on the bus and the hotel, and so you're not going to be on the team. What do you think of that whole thing?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. He's, you know, he's never been a – I've never heard anyone really say anything positive about him as a person or as a guy, really, from a friend standpoint, as a player. I think everyone respected his ability. I know, you know, the Jazz, when I was there, had a relation, sort of a checkered relationship with him, Stockton and Malone, where Malone just lit him up one time and I think split his forehead open with an elbow. And it's just a lot of bad blood. And, you know, I know it was the same thing with, you know, you saw what happened with Jordan where he refused to, you know, the tradition is no matter what happens during the series, you close the series by shaking hands. That's what you do, you know, which is unwritten, but it's respect, right? You're recognizing that the team finally got you. They beat you. Look, you took them down, you won two championships. I mean, shake hands, right? So, you know, that was a slight that obviously stayed with Michael and was, you know, kind of a classless move, so to speak. And I guess it just resonated with him. And, you know, look, when there tends to be that one team that you have to go through. And that was his, you know, his group that he had to go through, that physicality, that mental, mm-hmm. that intimidation that they tried to put on him. You can see the scars that it left on him. And again, that was a different era. I mean, it's not that long ago. You know, people didn't hug each other and like they do games and, oh, how you doing? And then hang out with each other in the off season. They really didn't like each other, you know? And I think while it's, you know, it's not always the greatest thing off the court. I think it makes you play harder on the floor. You want to, you know, put it on the guy a lot more, so you play with a lot more competitive desire. And you know, as a result, it really it can scar you. You do not want to be embarrassed or lose to that group that you really don't like.
Hey, John, I want to ask you this. Did you get to see one of those Michael Jordan games up close? One of those 50-plus games? Did you get to see one of those bad boys?
Yeah, not a 50-plusser. I saw him do some incredible things. I was playing for the Jazz. We were up by over 20 at the half at the Delta Center, it was called at the time, in Utah. Just cracking the balls. I mean, everything was going, you know, in our favor. And then in the third quarter, you know, we went into halftime and you know, everyone's jacked up, but knowing kind of in the back of our head, like, you know, these guys haven't even, Jordan hasn't even got it going yet. And come the third quarter, they never panicked, by the way. That was the thing about those Bulls teams. They just had such confidence in themselves they could get back on the right track. And 20 points back then, when you were up 20 points, because there were less possessions, the three-point shot was being taken less. 20 points was like, that was a big, big lead. You didn't typically lose a 20-point lead, okay? And they chipped away in the third quarter, got back, like early fourth caught us, and then Jordan just took over and made plays in the fourth, and I just saw it firsthand. He was breaking out of the triangle offense and just doing his thing one-on-one. It was just like nobody could stop him. Nobody could stop him. And then so that was amazing. I can't remember what he finished with, but it was just such a – you know, an individual takeover type situation after really struggling and not playing well in the first half, had that ability to flip the switch. And then just in the Eastern Conference Finals, I was on the 96-97 Heat team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals. We beat the Knicks in that, like, Rumble series and then, you know, got to the Bulls. And that Bulls team was just so good. I mean, they, you know, I've said it before, you know, everyone wants to talk about how good they were offensively, but defensively they were just so good. I mean, Michael Jordan, remember, he was a defensive player of the year. Right. He was a defensive player of the year at one point, you know, along with all his offensive attributes. And he and Ron Harper and Scottie Pippen would play. They were interchangeable as 6'6", 6'7", long, lanky, athletic guys. So every time we ran a pick and roll, Tim Hardaway would come off a pick and roll, they'd switch, and we could never create, you know, a lead or an angle to be able to take advantage. And it was just a really tough series to go against a team that good defensively.
Yeah, that's interesting stuff. Love to hear those Jordan stories from back in the day. Love, 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 love the documentary. Yeah. Can't get enough of that stuff.
Yeah. Hey, John, thank you, man. We really appreciate you spending some time with us this morning. Great, great stuff. Appreciate it. You stay safe. And hopefully we got some basketball, some real basketball back soon.
Yeah, fingers crossed, Joe and Zach. I'm hoping so too. We'll keep it going here. Take care, guys. Right.
Thanks, John. Thanks. Appreciate it, man. Good that stuff was, this morning.
John Crotty, Miami Heat color analyst, 11-year NBA vet, and did play against Jordan a bunch of times in the NBA.
Hey, we're gonna have David Weinstein join us, our sports attorney, talk a little bit about the Earl Thomas situation and also the Zion Williamson situation that's going on right now. With a big lawsuit that he has and whether Earl Thomas's wife might be doing a little time or not after pointing a loaded gun at Earl Thomas's head. I mean, I don't know how the hell to say this after Earl and his brother were in bed naked with some other people. Anyway, that's coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.